Hallelujah. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I was wondering if anybody has studied or at least read Psalm 119. Thy precept. Yeah, I see some hands. Yeah. It's wonderful, isn't it? Didn't memorize it. By next Sunday, you have it memorized. It's beautiful, isn't it? Thy precepts, thy statutes. The word of the Lord is perfect, Psalm 19. Tonight we're going to begin, and here again, we won't be using the screen because this screen, this projector's malfunctioned. I have got a lot of scripture, and I'm kind of whatever. But we turn your Bibles to the 18th chapter of 1 Samuel, and we'll use that as a starting point. We'll be talking about Jonathan and Dash, the greatest friend in the Old Testament. Unequivocally, he stuck with David through thick and thin. Covenant with David to the degree that when he was dead, David comes around and said, "Is there any left of the house of Saul that I might bless?" He wasn't blessing them because of Saul, but because of that covenant relationship that he had with Jonathan. Friend. And we sing around here occasionally, "I am a friend of God." And that doesn't cheapen it. It's God opens his arms up and wants us to come in and feel comfortable with him. Maybe that's comfortable is not a good word. Maybe to sense his awe. You got your scriptures open if you have your Bible to the 18th Samuel. Y'all bear with me tonight. Verse number 1 through 4. It came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. Now the gay community, would you believe it or not, they use this as the basis of some of their permission to do their work. Jonathan loved him as his own soul. That's strong. And Saul took him that day and would let no man, let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. Would you look at chapter number 20? I'm going to go ahead and read a few of these passages so we can start our comments. Chapter 20. In verse number 15 through 17. "But also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, Let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies." And Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Now, would you go to chapter, to 2 Samuel chapter number 1, and we read one verse of scripture from there. And I will probably ask you occasionally, are you with me? And what will you say? All right. 2 Samuel chapter 1 in verse number 26. Jonathan is dead. The news comes to David. "I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. I want to talk to you, as I said, on this idea of Jonathan, the greatest friend in the Old Testament. There's one friend that's greater than Jonathan, and his name is Jesus. Father, would you touch us tonight and help us to say what needs to be said, not to hold back and not to add to, but that we can communicate eternal values and truths to this congregation, that when we stand before you, we can somehow, some way, feel that we did something for your benefit. Have your way in every ear that's here, and every heart that's here, and every life that's here. For what you do, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Now, a true friend is one of life's greatest blessings. If a man's got a friend, he's got something. There are people that live on this earth that have never had a friend. They've had friendship. Hi, how you doing? Yeah, I know your name. You live two blocks from me. That's not friendship. That's not the definition of a friend. The loneliest people on earth are the people who have no friends. I can't imagine life without friends. I don't mean casual. I'm talking about if you got in a pinch, that you needed at least moral support. If you needed somebody to kind of hold you up, that you could dial their number and say, I don't want to unload on you, but I need a friend right now. Amen? Jesus trod the winepress alone by God's design. But he did that so you will not have to trod the winepress alone. He lives in your heart. A person, a false friend, is one of life's greatest sorrows, like a true friend is one of the greatest, richest blessings. And I gave you on my notes, I gave two or three, you've heard me use this through the years, but it's good. It's been said that a friend is someone who knows all about you and still loves you. Yeah, that's strong. We have fickle friends, fair weather friends. I'll be your friend is everything. And we have this come and take friend. I'll do for you if you'll do for me. Oh, God, help me tonight. Another friend, another definition, a friend is one that walks in when everybody else walks out. You'll never forget friends. And when you go to a funeral, if it's a funeral of a friend, you'll never forget that friend because you lost something. Amen? A friend is one who is willing to risk being hurt. I'm getting in my message now. We are so designed, at least I am, that I don't like to get stung. I don't like to get walloped. And by not liking to, and I don't think you do. I don't think any of us do. But with that characteristic, we tend to build a shell up around us. And we say you can come this far, but you'll never get in here. God helps us to throw the door open and say there's room for you in here. You might end up stinking. You might end up stinging. But I'm not going to push you away. Am I talking to anybody? A church sign that I read said friends are easy to make but harder to keep. Every one of us in here can look back and say, I remember 15 years ago, Joe Blow was my close friend. Something happens, right or wrong, good or bad, but something happens and those that used to be your friends walk out for whatever reason. I'm not trying to, you know, a true friendship will cost you because it's a give and take thing. If you're a friend only for the benefit of receiving, you're not a friend. You got to be willing to give. And something else. You got to be willing to try to have an understanding mind. What makes some people be as stupid as they are? I don't know. But we've got to put up with some stupidity sometime. Because we have a little dose of it ourselves, I'm sure. Don't put yourself on a pedestal and say, I've arrived and they haven't. Put yourself down at the foot of the cross and say, boy, I've got a long ways to go. Am I talking to you? True friendship will cost you. It'll be challenged. Amen? Because the devil knows that in fact, there's one of the scriptures, a threefold cord is hard to break. Two is better than one. And the devil, and I do say the devil, will do everything he can to drive a wedge between friends. You know, for 5 years, I'm using that as just a term. For 5 years, you and Joe Blow were close friends and shared things together. But something happened, illustrating. Something happened. You meet him and he's, hey, partner, hey, buddy, hey. It's not as warm as it used to be. You sense it. You immediately notice it. The hug that he gave you around your neck was not as affectionate as it was. Something drove a wedge in. And pastor in a church, I could write a book on that one. Oh, no, let me go ahead. David had a friend in Jonathan. There were others who declared their friendship, but they were fickle friends. They didn't hang with him. But Jonathan and David. And here's what David said. You've heard us talk about, if it had been an enemy, talking about Saul, if it had been an enemy that lifted up his heel against me, I could have handled that. But it was my friend. My friend. The man tried to kill him. It's not a fair weather thing. Somebody might try to murder you viciously by gossip. They might try to butcher you by wrong sayings. And the root of that reason is they want you to separate yourself from the... But Jesus said, no, don't run from the tails. Sit at the table with Jesus. And who is it going to betray you? He that dips in the sop. And incidentally, friend, that thou doest, do it quickly, friend. The traitor is at the table. And Jesus, with his all-knowing mind, knows it. And Jesus does not get puffed up. He does not show anxiety. Does anybody know? He showed friendship to the last breath. It was not put on. It was no hypocrisy. It was no crossing the street so you won't have to meet him eyeball to eyeball. The longer that you stay separated from somebody that was a friend, the harder it's going to be to reconcile. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. If somebody's cross-eyed at you, with all sincerity, the Bible says, if your enemy hungers, if he thirsts, because in doing so you are heaping what? Kill him with goodness. A man can't be mean as a rattlesnake if you treat him kind. After a while, he's gonna love never fails. Hallelujah to God. One of the great preachers of our church, R.B. Thomas, an outstanding Bible teacher, was in North Dakota or South Dakota. Anyway, he was pastoring. He'd go to the post office, and this man that waited on him was curlish. Do you understand curlish? Uncouth. No personality. Snapped like a rattlesnake. And every morning go in and get the mail, and he, Brother Thomas, would be pleasant because that's his nature. And this guy would like, you know. Brother Thomas said, I will win him if I win nobody else. Day after day after day after day, driving that nail in. And finally he sensed it was time for the kill. I would like to take you to lunch. He had gained the man's confidence and trust. So the man said, okay. And Brother Thomas said by the time that lunch was over and he heard the man's story, he said it's a wonder if he was as pleasant as he was. But he got into that man's mind. There are lots of people tonight on the road to destruction. I'm not talking about hell. I'm talking about self-destruction, destroying family members. Because if they just had somebody that could get into their mind and say, you don't have to live like this. You can have peace. They just need somebody to push through the barrier. How can somebody go and cut their mama's head off and hold the head in one hand and the butcher knife? It happened yesterday in North Carolina. And when the officials come up to the driveway, here's the young guy standing with his mother's head in this hand and the butcher knife in this hand. Somebody needed to have got in that man's head somewhere down the line. We need to be on guard of who we meet. We need to be on guard of whose path we cross, because we might be able to save somebody from the destruction and the deeds of destruction. I just pray and trust and pray that people that are in this church, that you will not let the difficulties of life heap up until you go out and do something dumb. Don't try to carry your cross by yourself. There's brothers and sisters in the church that would be willing to sit with you and say, I do not have an answer. I'm not a psychiatrist, but I can sit on this side of the desk and listen to you on that side of the desk. And when you're finished, I can hug your neck and say, I'm glad you got it out. I've had people walk out of that office and they say at the door when they got ready to close, this has helped me so much. You really have helped me. And I'm thinking, you don't even know the clue. I didn't help. I didn't say 10 words. Well, I helped him by, You know what people are needing? They need somebody's ear. I sit there and I wasn't putting on. I wasn't playing games. I smiled. I nodded my head. I said, help us. And they said, oh, you helped me. I said, thank God. But, you know, you helped yourself. See, there's misery in us that heaps. Oh, am I talking? Jesus said to his disciples, we must come apart for a while. And somebody's added to that, if you don't come apart, you will come apart. There comes times that you got to have some, you need friends, but you just need to get, am I talking to anybody? Let me find my place. There was others who had declared their friendship to David, but they've proved they were not all that much of a friend. So number one, that we read the text at chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. What is true friendship? That's what we want. Anybody interested? David and Jonathan, there's some people that you just click with. That don't mean that the other people that you don't like. The disciple whom Jesus, boy, that stings a lot of people. I remember reading that and I think, that's a little biased. But it's there. It's easy for me to love somebody that's going to love me back. It's easy for me to meet somebody and say, that's my friend. I can get in the car with him and I can ride to Greenville. And I can just talk and say, incidentally, I got a problem. I'd like, hello? The reason why I think the most difficult, abusive things in a church would be if somebody bare their heart to the preacher and he gets up next Sunday and preaches on it. He ought to be spent 30 days in solitary confinement, bread and water. I mean, it's painful for people to tell their problems. It hurts because we don't like to admit that we got problems, but most of us got more than we can handle. Amen? But somehow God helps. You're quiet, but I'm trusting you're observing. They developed this friendship, and it was a friendship that stood firm in the perplexities of life. They never wavered. And no one fits the example of a friend in the Old Testament better than Jonathan does. Amen. Hallelujah. What a friend we have in Jesus. They first met after Goliath was killed. David and Jonathan. David is called to the headquarters of Saul. And Saul's saying, who is this strapling? And he finds out it's David. And there was a bond immediately between David and Jonathan. I mean, it's not saying other people are less important, but there was a chemistry there between these two, and we'll find out more about that now. So the first thing about it is the definition of a true friend, the selflessness of Jonathan. That's the next thing. Chapter 19, verse number 1 through 3 of 1 Samuel. Here's what destroys friendship right here, let me tell you. Selfishness. It's a cancer. It's self-incriminating. I didn't get treated fair. I is the middle letter of pride. Pride goeth before contention. Amen. Saul heard the cheers of the people. You remember we talked about that. David, and God allows things. I'm not saying God orchestrated. It happened. But God allows things to happen because God saw the heart of Saul, and he saw the heart of David, and he saw the heart of the people, the era of that day. Whatever you're facing, God has seen it, and God is seeing you're being tested. You're being evaluated. Let's use that. You're being evaluated. God is evaluating you, whether he can promote you, demote you, or let you leave you standing still. How am I going to respond to catastrophe? How am I going to respond? When the light truck comes in and when the light burden comes in, hopefully I can respond decently. But how about when the cart's broken down? How about when everything, your child goes wild, your marriage is in bad shape, and your paycheck's gone, all this kind of stuff? How are you going to handle it? See, that's what we need. And David come in, and the ladies of that community got together, women's lib or something, and they cried out, Saul has slain his thousands, but David is 10,000. Bow! A spirit took over Saul right then. A spirit. You call it jealousy, insecurity, but it was a spirit. It was not just an attitude. It was a living organism that got in his being, took his sleep. See, that's what happens. It digs at you when you allow something, when you allow some spirit to come in, some spirit of jealousy or bitterness or insecurity. It grows. Because those spirits have life, and they expand at every change they get. They're going to remind you. And Saul, his life changed in one snap of a finger. What more could they ask for? The kingdom? Saul was being weighed in the balance. Am I talking to you? He was being weighed in the balances to find out from his own self, his own opinion, am I qualified to be king? And he showed, just like the debate they're having right now about President Trump. It's a stinking nasty thing, all the viciousness and all that. But we're finding out who's who. And Saul, you might would have asked him that morning, do you think before dark that you'll be trying to kill David? No. He killed Goliath, and he's my man. He's a kid, but he showed... You mean you don't think you'd be upset? No, but he found out before the sun set that it just killed him. I've said it before, and I say it again. Not everybody sings alike. Not everybody plays music alike. Not everybody preaches alike. They all do it in the sphere of their ability. And there's no use in being churlish. There's no use in being jealous. If somebody happens to get applause at their song, it might be wise if we didn't applaud any of them, but if somebody gets, I called somebody today. I called somebody. I said, you know, we were talking to my, and I was being very honest. I was being very straight out. Of course I wasn't being dishonest. That's like your child saying, this is really the truth. But I called somebody, I said, you know what? I made an error Sunday night. I said, actually, it may have been Sunday morning, but it was Sunday. I said, I was bragging about people's cooking, and this one does that one. And I said, there's nobody in this church that has cooked more stuff for us than you have. And, oh, she said, don't worry about it. I said, I did worry about it. I wanted to make sure that you understood that I remembered and I recognized your cooking ability. And in the back of my mind saying, you know, bring it on. No, I did not, in innocence, I did not want to create a situation where somebody would, where the enemy could take advantage of somebody. I didn't want to do it. If he takes advantage of you, I don't want to be party of it. Because we have to be careful, slow to speak. Going toward the Greenville on Highway 33, the Baptist Church in Chocowinda has got a sign. Have you ever wondered why God gave you two ears and one mouth? Have you ever wondered that? If you need to know, see us at the church. The selflessness. David, the people sang the song and it consumed Saul, and a murdering spirit come upon him. There's spirits of, the Bible talks about deaf spirits, dumb spirits, blind spirits, all kinds. There's all kinds of that will control you. You can be in the holiness of God's sanctuary, and you look over there and somebody's wearing a dress just like you. Oh, how dare her to do that? I know I'm preaching good. Let's move on. Listen to me good. Jonathan was next in line for the throne. If his daddy is done away with, he will be king. That's not a light matter. He's like the crown prince. If anybody had a right to not have their daddy interfere with, it was Jonathan. You know, let's be careful about what you do to my dad, because I'm going to be his follow-up. But he was not consumed. Something happened to Jonathan that didn't happen to Saul. Saul opened his door up for demonic spirits and activity, and Jonathan opened his door up for the love of God. I mean, there was a bond there. And see, it would be to his advantage if David were to be brushed aside. He could stand there and think, look at my dad, he's been hurt. And this young guy come in and whatever. It would have been to his advantage. Please understand me. He could have easily aided and abetted in Saul, because the latest attributed all the success to David, and jealousy could have come up. But something spoke to Jonathan and said, this is going to be your friend for life. I remember, I'm trying to think, Lester Summerall. Anybody ever heard of? Great Bible teacher. When he was launching out, learning the ways of the Holy Ghost, learning the voice of God, God gave him direction and said, you're to go to this train station, you're to move to this location. And it was far. It was not next door. And there at the railroad station, you will be met by so-and-so. He did, and the guy's name that he was going to be met was Howard, and I draw a blank on the last name. But when he got off the train, when Lester Summerall got off the train, he looked up, and there the man dressed just like the Spirit of God told him, and he goes up to him, your name is, and the guy at the station says, yes. He said, well, God sent me here and told me that you're to work under me, And we're to do this. And the man said, well, you're right on target because that's what God said. And he spent his life in the shadows of Lester Sumrall. How would you like to be one of Billy Graham's associates? You're just moving the marbles, but Billy Graham's getting all the limelight, and rightfully so. But somebody has got, I mean, in our churches, in our buildings, not everybody stands visible. And blessed is the man that can accept invisibility. Am I right? And strange enough, there are some people that they'd rather be. They're servants of God. They love God. They're faithful to God. But they don't want the limelight. I can tell you one right now that didn't when it all started. And I'm not so sure I still don't. The last Sunday I'm here, I think it would be a good one. I got 45 years of notes in that desk, in that office. And notes. Most beautiful handwriting that you've seen. And I think the last Sunday I'm here, I need to bring 45 years of notes and lay them on the altar. And say, there's your Bible school. There's notes on faith, on the blood, on consecration. I'm getting off track. Saul wanted to destroy David, and it would have been to Jonathan's benefit if David were to be brushed aside. And the ordinary man would have done that, but not Jonathan. Jonathan accepted the fact. He embraced the fact that David was going to excel above him. That's something. I mean, he understood that David would ultimately be king. I will be slighted. I will be run over. I will be pushed to the background. Somehow the revelation comes. That's going to be the next king right there. This young man right here called David. Now understand, people, when people get promoted, legitimately promoted, most of the time they're not bucking for it. Favor comes from God. Promotion does not come from the north or the south, but from God. And most people that get promoted, honorably promoted, they're promoted upon the merit of their ability and personality, and they're not trying to pull. I remember a few years ago in the other sanctuary, someone spoke to me one night and said, I'm going to the country club to a banquet. Okay. And then I said, well, why is this so important to you? Because, he said, the people I work with all go there, and I could get a promotion. I said, you mean you're going to the country club just so you rub elbows with the people that's got ability and body? Well, of course. I said, you're wasting your time. The promotion would be temporary, it'd be shallow, whatever. Can you imagine, I'm thinking about me, can I imagine myself dressing up in a dinner suit or whatever you call it, whatever it was, and going and rubbing elbows with the big wigs, and they look at me like, look at him, it's pitiful. He wants to get a promotion so bad he's willing to come out here and shine our shoes. You've seen people like that. All they want is promotion, advancement, and they do hook and crook or whatever. Let God do it. When I was in Smithfield, not the pastor before me stayed 6 months and got out of there. He's down around Whiteville right now. I think he's still pastor. The guy before the 6 month guy stayed 2 weeks. He goes to the overseer P.H. McCarn in Charlotte and says, that church don't need a preacher. That church needs a miracle worker. And Brother McCarn said, brother, I thought that's what we were. So I come in 6 months and 2 weeks later as the miracle worker. 8 years. Y'all have heard that story, so I won't tell it to you. Am I talking to you? Can you imagine 5 people come up here to join the church and something inside of 4 of them says, he's going to go somewhere. He's going to go. How? Am I making sense to you? Tool enlists in the military, and he's not pulling string. He's just doing what a military person is supposed to do. And he does it decently. He does it effectively. And promotion comes. I'm sure there were other people that was in line for promotion or possibly had the green light for promotion. But promotion comes on merit. And Lord, help me get out of this one. Jonathan forgot his own status and his own potential and his own future, and he let his heart go out in love to David. That's the key right there. He let his heart go out to David in love and adoration. The foundation for true friendship. Oftentimes, true friendship is based upon selfishness. Am I right? Will you do this for me? If you'll do this for me, I'll do that for you. This was not Jonathan's way. Do you remember 1 Corinthians 13? Let me, out of the Message Bible, let me read it. Are y'all going to give me time? This is why I had two Bibles. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but a creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr and I don't love, I've got to nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, keeps on going to the end. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limits. We know only a portion of the truth, but what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incomplete will be canceled. When I was an infant at my mother's breast, I gurgled and cooed like an infant. But when I grew up, I left those infant ways for good. We don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist, but it won't be long before the weather clears. And the sun shines bright, and we will all see it all then, see it all as clearly as God sees it, knowing him directly just as he knows us. Love is wonderful, isn't it? Hallelujah. Jonathan knew that the higher David rose, the lesser would be his opportunity. If David is exalted, the possibility of Jonathan. So he loses his place, he loses his potential to be a king, and is totally prepared to give it up because of his love for David. And this bond meant more to Jonathan than all the cheers and all the applause. Number four, the covenant of friendship. And that's in 1 Samuel chapter 20. And I'd like to read a couple of things. I know it's getting late. Y'all mind it nice, though. Chapter 20 and verse number 15. Thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my... Jonathan is talking to David. Jonathan is giving a guarantee to his heirs, to his family. When the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, everyone from the face of the earth, so Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan calls David to swear again because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Okay? Never based on if you do this for me, I'll do that for you. It's always, I'll lay it all on the line. I'll put your interest, your welfare, your future. Your future is of more value to me than my welfare or my future. Someone else, see, here's what the acrostic for joy is. J-O-Y. It's old. Jesus first, others second, and me last. In that, how many know if it's with the right motive, if it's with the right idea, the goodness that comes to you, the good feeling that comes to you when you help somebody. When you reach out to somebody and say, I don't have to put my name, my identification, I just want to be, I want to help you. It's a good feeling. Amen. But it's not a good feeling when you live self-centered. You know, he ain't never going to quit. I got to go to work at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. See this? Y'all got me. Jonathan had everything going for him. Look, let me read. This covenant involved a total giving from Jonathan. You see, he had it all, and David had nothing. There was no exchange, only a surrender from Jonathan. But now we go to the cream of it. Chapter number 18, verses 3 and 4. I'm flipping you back and forth. Well, I'm glad y'all come to church. I hope when it's over with, y'all say, I'm glad we come to church. Verse number 4. Here's the covenant. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, gave it to David, his garments, and to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. First of all, in this covenant, Jonathan stripped himself of his robe, gave it to David. That means Jonathan gave up his identification. Look, and David gained identification. Am I talking to you? There's no inferior. There's no superior. Jonathan takes it off and says, here's my robe. People in that day, they were marked by their attire. And people looked at and they see David wearing this robe, and they knew that it was not David's robe. They knew it was Jonathan's robe. And he gave David his garment and his girdle. And what he's saying to David, you don't have to bow to me. All this that I've been wearing, it demands, you know, proper response. But David, I'm giving what I have to you. You don't have to bow to me. I thought that would go over a little bit. Then he gave him his sword and his bow. Now we're friends. And David, Jonathan gave up his weapon. And he's saying, David, you will never, ever have to worry about being hurt from me. I give you my weapon. Here's my bow. If somewhere in the future you're struck by an arrow, you can say, I know one thing, that arrow did not come from Jonathan. I'm giving you my weapon. I'm giving you what I, can you imagine that? Jesus Christ went to the cross. And here, let me just say this. We need friendships to the point where if somebody said, John Doe said something about you, you could say, no, he didn't. You're misconstruing something. You're misunderstanding something. It didn't happen that way. See, friendships are built on trust. Hello? And if you carry news, if you carry bad news, condemning news about somebody, you're destroying trust. You ought to have somebody in your life that is so confident in you and love you so much that if somebody come to them and yak, you can say, at least in your mind, you can say, I'm not worried about that. They talked about Jesus. Amen. He gave David his sword and his bow. And now we're friends, and David, you'll never have to worry about me hurting you. That's an issue right there. You'll never have to worry about me hurting you. You have my sword. Here's my bow. If an arrow strikes you, you'll know it did not come from me because I've surrendered my. When I come to the cross, I'm supposed to surrender my weapons. My weapons are carnal. They condemn. They gossip, they do all. But when I come to the cross, I gave up everything that I have, which was nothing. And I gained everything that he had. Amen? And we're still gaining it. Amen. This friendship had the price of the friend. It had much pain in it. For true friendship never runs smooth. It would be challenged. It would be contested. And Jonathan had to maintain, he's got to be with his dad. He wants to be faithful to David, to his vow. Amen. The best, and I'm closing now. Somebody don't say amen. The sorrow of parting. And that's in chapter 23, and we won't go. The best of friendships will at some point have to be separated and part. David and Jonathan was no exception. Yet friendships that are severed on earth will be resumed in heaven. It's going to be a wonderful thing. I was thinking about the friends that I have in this church. In 36 years, there have been people that have got an unfavorable opinion of me. And particularly in those early years, we would park the automobile. I got my haircut downtown, and so the shops were more busy back then. And it's a stinging thing to look up and see somebody that has been a member of your church, and they cross the street so they won't have to. You go in the grocery store, and you turn down the aisle, and you see somebody, and they whip around and get out. And you know your heart is not harboring one thing, nothing, against them. And you send them notes and cards and say, you know, we appreciate you or something. But through the years, being decent and kind, at least that's my interpretation, some of these attitudes changed, and now occasionally I see some of them that did. Am I bearing too much? I see some of them that did have a bad attitude, they'll hug my neck and be sincere about it. I tell you, if you maintain your integrity, if you just be faithful and true, God will honor you. So the words of a friend in David's darkest hour, he was hiding in a cave, and Jonathan came to him, and Jonathan encouraged him. That's what a friend. Job chapter 4 and 4, your words have kept me on my feet. And there have been people in this building right here tonight in this auditorium that your words, at a time of deflation, at a time when you would like to have had a button, an escape button, and you hugged my neck and said, boy, and I said, God forgive them for lying. But they say, that's the best sermon I've ever heard you preach. I said, oh, dear God, help me. But I knew they wasn't lying. And that was a paradox, you know. But there have been people whose words have put air back in my balloon. Brother Milton come in. And see, now I had to call somebody and say, I didn't mean just for Brother Milton. There we go. He'll come in and he'll prophesy over the service. We're going to have a good service tonight. I've got to where I'd lean on his prophecy too. They're good. I'm going to wind up. Jonathan spoke words that made David believe in himself. You can do it. You know, and that's an amazing thing. Would you stand with me?